With new numbers out today, more than 22 million people have filed for unemployment benefits in just the last few weeks. That's 13% of the American workforce. And as those numbers continue to rise, the pressure is on for the government to find a responsible way to reopen the economy. Joining us now for more on that is one of this country's leading economists, Professor Kenneth Rogoff at Harvard University. Professor, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. A pleasure to speak with you.
Well, when do you expect the economy to reopen?
Boy, that is a tough call, really, for the health specialists. I suspect we will try to reopen and it won't work, and we'll end up shutting down maybe for a shorter period next time. That's been the experience in other countries. Singapore tried to be more open. They've shut tight. Japan tried to. And I think, you know, at some point we could stay shut forever and then wouldn't have a problem. We'd be back in the Stone Ages at some point. So we're going to experiment. My guess is the first experiments with reopening will happen towards the end of May, beginning of June. But I don't see this ending fully smoothly and quickly.
When you talk about the risks of reopening too soon and having to go back into a more of a lockdown situation, what are the risks of staying closed for too long as you see them?
Well, we are headed into the deepest dive in the global economy basically in 150 years. And it's, of course, there are risks in staying this way. Unemployment is going to go up to levels, you know, we haven't really seen maybe since the Great Depression. There are all kinds of problems associated with that, malnutrition in children and mental health problems, children not getting education, other health problems, cancer, whatever, getting deferred and not treated the same way because our hospitals are overwhelmed. There's a lot of problems to manage in what is a natural catastrophe where it isn't easy to make the call. The good news, such as there is that there are a lot of places in the world experiencing the same challenges, approaching it in different ways. And hopefully we can look at the experiences of other countries, ranging from some who, you know, locked down more severely than we have. Many have, like France, certainly China at its height, to others, particularly in the developing world, where they can't. They just can't shut down their economy, and they have to sort of let come what may. And we'll learn a lot. I mean, it's a very grim situation, but we will know a lot more in a few months. And also, of course, our medical researchers are furiously working on this, trying to understand it better.
You know, I feel like about a month ago when we would talk to economists, they would say, well, we're kind of expecting this to be a V-shaped recovery where, you know, all we have to do is keep people with enough money for a few months to get through this, and then everything will come roaring right back afterwards. And I feel like I'm hearing less of that now. What do you think about how this recovery is going to look?
Well, optimistically, they will find better medical treatments than we now think of. We'll get a vaccine sooner than we expect. But I think realistically, even in countries like the United States, no, we're just not going to get what's so-called V-shaped recovery, where you go down, but you snap up really fast. That seems really unlikely. I mean, there are a number of reasons. First, we're going to only be able to open the country gradually. Second, as we just discussed, there's going to be at best two steps forward and one step back where we have to close up for a while. But lastly, this is causing a lot of damage. I think there are a lot of small businesses that are not going to make it back, some from financial problems and some because the economy is being turned upside down. I don't know what it's going to look like at the end of this, but there'll be a lot of restructuring, more online businesses, maybe less face-to-face things. And there may be jobs in the end, but it's going to take time. You don't just snap back. So, I don't want to be overly pessimistic because I just don't know the health side. But my guess is that this will be a slow recovery, maybe not as slow as the last 10 years where, you know, it just stayed slow almost till the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'll be a bit faster, but in a typical recession, you're just snapping back the next 6 months. That's really unlikely here.
If the U.S. is going to continue to spend trillions of dollars to try to stabilize the economy and help it bounce back faster, what kinds of things would you want the U.S. to be spending that money on? I can't imagine that a huge infrastructure project would even be possible because it's hard for people to go out and work together on things right now. But is universal health care something that should be looked at right now, something that is going to cost trillions of dollars, but maybe this is the moment to do it?
Well, I think surely we're going to have universal health care come out of this, and whether it's in 2 years or 6 years, that's clearly one of the things that is a weakness that's been shown. Mind you, Italy has universal health care, France has universal health care, Spain has universal health care, and you know, it's not helped them. It's more a political thing. I mean, in the first instance, I would like to see them spending more and leaning on the private sector more to deliver the urgent things we need. I mean, it's not just the ventilators, but where are the tests for the virus? Why isn't it coming out faster? I mean, testing is the central thing, as all the health professionals are telling us, to be able to figure out how to deal with this rationally. What is the problem? How big is it? Where is it? What should we do? So I'd certainly like to see that. We do need a lot of infrastructure in the United States. I think we should have done a lot more before this. So, for example, providing free internet to everywhere, I think, would be a priority. We have this situation with all these children who aren't getting access to education because they don't have internet. There are certainly many needs, and possibly providing more online education, not just for children, not just for college students, for adults, so that we can have a more flexible economy. I mean, there are a lot of directions, certainly, that we can go. Some of it will be determined politically. But again, in the near term, we're in an incredible crisis of trying to normalize in some way, and we need to devote enormous courage, resources, and creativity to try to deal with it.
One direction that we are likely to go in, according to many experts, including we just spoke recently with Mohamed El Arian, the economist, who said he believes that this crisis will really exacerbate income inequality, not just in the U.S., but around the world. Do you agree with that?
Oh, goodness. I mean, if we're talking about around the world, we're seeing in places like India levels of humanitarian crises, tragedies like we have not seen outside of wartime. You have to understand, all of these countries face the same problems we do. Small businesses can't be open. People can't go to work. They need to deal with the health problems. And they don't have the resources to deal with it. They not only can't borrow, they have debts to pay. I have argued that we really should have a moratorium on debt repayments, not just for homeowners and small businesses like we're doing here, but a lot of the emerging world and developing economies. We went through this period where, if you looked at a global level, the world became much more equal because billions of people rose out of extreme poverty. Unfortunately, this is going to be very, very big step backwards in Africa, places like India, maybe even in places like Brazil and Mexico. So it's absolutely a formative moment in the global system. And there's a possibility that it'll look like the 1930s, where everything became balkanized, every country for themselves. And that sure didn't work very well, and it didn't lead to anything good.
How could we allow ourselves, and I'm not just talking about the United States, but the entire world, allow our entire global economy to be screwed up by a pandemic that, you know, is something that, not on this scale, but a pandemic is something that we do experience every, you know, decade or so in some level?
Well, this has certainly been forecast. So I've been on numerous meetings, sometimes with high-level officials, with health authorities saying, look, you know, this could happen. And I think a lot of people poo-pooed it and said, well, we'll come up with some drug, we'll deal with it, science is, you know, going to deal with the problem. A lot of people want to pretend we live in a world where crises don't happen. There's never going to be a Great Depression. There's never going to be a war. There's never going to be a pandemic. And I think you have to plan for these. And it's just like when you buy house insurance so your home doesn't burn down. And then, you know, you go, oh, it didn't burn down the last 3 years. That was a waste of money. We need to think much more about these things and invest in them to prepare for these extreme events. I hope this doesn't happen again for 100 years, but my friends who are researchers say, well, you know, it could happen again in 10 years. Let's be prepared.
That is Kenneth Rogoff, a Harvard economist. Professor Rogoff, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.